I'm Kane native Ed Rose, and this is Citizen Kane, PA. On this weekly broadcast, I uncover little-known facts and favorite memories from the hilltop. This week's program is called A Scandal in the Kane Family. Professor Elisha Kent Kane III was the grandson of General Thomas Leaper Kane, the founder of our fine bureau, and was widely known as the well-born son of prominent surgeon Evan O'Neill Kane, whom listeners will remember for having performed a successful self-appendectomy at the Kane Hospital in 1921, and then later for surgically correcting his own hernia in 1932. The press described Professor Kane, the chair of Romance Languages at the University of Tennessee, as wealthy, handsome, and aristocratic as he stood trial for the murder of his young wife, Jenny, in Hampton, Virginia in 1931. According to the Daily Press in Newport News, Virginia, the sensational trial was among the most famous and juicy legal proceedings in the history of the Virginia Commonwealth. While visiting his in-laws in Hilton, Virginia, on September 11, 1931, Professor Kane and his wife Jenny decided to go to Grandview for a swim at the lighthouse near Back River, where Jenny drowned and authorities said he was to blame. Newspapers depicted Jenny as the poor girl he had married and then grown tired of. The prosecution hinted that he loved another woman. It seemed the old familiar love triangle. Gossipers said Kane had become entangled with another woman at the University of Tennessee. Jenny Kane's family thought Kane had murdered her, they said, because of several odd circumstances. For one, Elisha Kane was a strong swimmer and should have been able to pull her safely to shore. For another, they thought Kane had wasted crucial time in going for his car to take his wife's lifeless body to Dixie Hospital. They thought he should have lifted her from the shore to the car. There were no witnesses. After 3 hours and 45 minutes mulling the fate of UT Professor Elisha Kent Kane on the charge of premeditated murder in the strange drowning death of his wife, the Hampton, Virginia jury returned with its verdict on September 14, 1931. Not guilty. Nearly everything Kane had to say after his acquittal found its way into newspapers across the country. He thanked Judge Vernon Spratley, to whom he said, "I owe my life, or what I prize more, my freedom." He called the fall of 1931 3 months of hell. Professor Kane soon married again, not his intimate correspondent Betty Dahl, the spectral UT beauty, but one Gladys Schuler, a nurse who had worked for his father. The two eventually had two children, a son and a daughter. He named his son Thomas Leiper Kane for his famous grandfather, the Union officer and founder of the town of Kane. Former colleagues regretted that the murder charge had ruined Kane's promising academic and literary career. It did not ruin his military career. By the time of Pearl Harbor, almost exactly 10 years after his acquittal, Major Elisha Kane was back in the Army. He served in the South Pacific and saw combat at Guadalcanal, at Luzon, and at the Bismarck Archipelago. Promoted to colonel, Kane received several distinctions for conspicuous service, including the Bronze Star. In 1947, at the age of 53, Kane suffered a stroke that his family attributed to an illness he contracted in the war. He was crippled for the rest of his life, which he divided between Kane, Pennsylvania, and Largo, Florida. Colonel Elisha Kane III was in St. Petersburg in early 1959 when he died of a cerebral hemorrhage a few weeks before his 65th birthday. Well, that's all for this week, friends. Please send your feedback and ideas to citizenkanepa@gmail.com. And thank you for listening.